بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، we are looking at the lessons from the seerah which we can apply in our lives. And yesterday we were looking at the issue of money. We continue with that today. As I said, two basic principles that we understand. One is to earn halal and the other one is to spend halal. And in the on the subject of this is also the interest, is the issue of interest-based earnings. If you see the ayat relating to this in Surah Al-Baqarah from ayah number 275 to 279, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared all forms of riba, all forms of interest-based banking to be prohibited. There are three specific things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said with respect to this. The first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, people say that riba is like trade. People say that riba is like trade. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. Allah has made trade halal and Allah has made riba haram. So how can riba be like trade? And Allah said, those who say this on the day of judgment, they will stand as if they have been beaten by shaitan. As if they are insane, as if they have been beaten by shaitan. On the day of judgment, this will happen to people who deal in riba, who deal in interest, whether it is lending, whether it is borrowing, it is the same, and who claim that this is like trade. For example, somebody might say that I have 1 crore, 10 million as capital. I buy an apartment with that, I buy a flat with that, and I give it out on rent, and I get 1 million per year. And my flat value is 10 million. I am getting 1 million per year as a return. So therefore, this is 10% of the capital I am getting as a return. So this is trade, this is halal, nothing wrong with that, you can do this. And if the person says, well, if I take the same 1 million, same 10 million, and I lend it out, I put it in the market, and I get the same, exact same, I'm not talking about getting a higher return. You can get a higher return, I know this, but I'm saying, let's take the same example. I get the same 10% return on this 10 million. I'm still getting 1 million. So why is this different? Huh? As far as the money is concerned, why is it different? I put it in a fixed deposit. I am getting 10% interest from the bank. So, I am still getting 1 million, right? I am 1 crore de to 10 lakh mil rahe. Same thing. Then why is this halal? Why is that haram? This is the magnificence and the power and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not explain the issue of what interest does to an economy. Allah did not mention the issue of what interest does and so on. Allah simply said, Allah has made one halal and Allah has made the other one haram. Khalas. أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. So there is no need to argue about this. There is no need to explain anything about this. Simply say, this is halal, this is haram. Khalas. Why? Because Allah said so. That's it. Allah is saying, because I said so. You got an argument with that? You got a problem with that? Go talk to Allah. Don't ask me, don't ask anybody. Ask Allah. And Allah has already told you. What will you ask Him? Allah has already said, أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ. So no matter what your bankers and what your financial analysts and whoever and what all arguments they give you about leveraging capital and this and that, and I know all of these arguments, believe me. I formally studied this rubbish in my in my business school in the finance class. All of that ignores this one single fact, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram. So all of those arguments do not make what Allah made haram into halal. So this is the first message in this set of four ayats. The second message in this set of four ayat is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, leave whatever is there which is owed to you of interest if you are mu'minin. In kuntum mu'minin. If you are mu'minin. So this is a conditional statement. Right? Leave this if you are believers. Leave this if you are mu'minin. So now if you don't leave it, what are you saying about yourself? You are passing a fatwa on yourself. Nobody else. You are passing a ruling. You are saying, I am not a believer. Khalas. Nobody else has said this to you. You are saying it to yourself. Because Allah made a conditional statement. If you continue to deal in interest, Allah is saying, stop dealing in interest if you are believers. Stop dealing in interest from when? Not from next year, not from next week, not from tomorrow. Right now. Stop dealing in interest. And if you are believers. So, second statement which we have to answer, which we have to understand as far as that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a third statement. And that third statement is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ And if you will not do this, then take from me a declaration of war from Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allah ma'am. Take a declaration. We declare war. Who declares war? Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now who is Allah? Allah is the one before whom we are going to be presented on the Day of Judgment. And what do we want from Him? We want maghfirat, we want forgiveness, we want jannah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one whose shafaat we want, whose intercession we would like to have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant this for us on the Day of Judgment. Right? Now these are the two from whom the person who is dealing in interest has accepted a declaration of war. If you accept a declaration of war, which list will your name be put in? Enemy or friend? Yeah, I'm trying to be, as simple in explanation as possible. Very simple to understand. If I am accepting a declaration of war from somebody, then am I that person's enemy or am I that person's friend? So, if I have accepted this declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I have placed my name in the list of enemies of Allah and enemies of the Rasul. Then on the Day of Judgment, I am going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is what? My enemy or my what? No, the very simple way. That is the reason why I say the foundational, fundamental question to ask is, do I have iman? Leave all of this. Do I have iman? Am I actually a Muslim? Seriously, you have to ask. Will I die? Will I be resurrected? Will I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I really believe this? You don't have to tell this to anybody. I'm not saying you don't need to answer me. I don't need to answer you. Just sit in with yourself, by yourself. If you like, go sit in front of a mirror. Talk to yourself. Do I have iman? Do I believe that I will die? Do I believe that I will be resurrected? Do I believe that I will stand before Allah? Settle this for yourself once and for all. If you do not believe this, no problem. Live your life. No problem. If you say, no, excuse me, I will not die. If I die, I will become dust. I will not be resurrected. I will not stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not a Muslim. Say it, no problem. Live your life without confusion, without conflict. But if that is not the case, if you have said, no, I have said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, so I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, I worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I believe that one day I will die. I believe that I will be resurrected. I believe that I will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe all of these things, inshallah, alhamdulillah. Then you ask yourself when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you want to be called as, O enemy of Allah, Ya Adu Allah? Or do you want to be called Ya Wali Allah? Which one? The two are not the same. Please understand this very clearly. The two are not the same. And there is no third category, half Wali Allah, half Adu Allah. There is no half enemy and half, no, there's no third. There are only two categories. There are either the enemies of Allah or there are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu. There is no third category. And I am giving you the dalail of the Quran. I am not making this up, so it's not my opinion. This is the dalail of the Quran. Allah has said very clearly in the Quran. We have to decide, where do I want to be? This way, here or here? And then do whatever you want to do. There is nothing in the Quran which has been prohibited with as much vehemence and as much emphasis as the issue of interest. And this is what Rasulullah ﷺ did. Therefore, what did the Prophet ﷺ do? The first one he applied it was on his own family. Nabi ﷺ himself was never into lending or borrowing, but he borrowed for his own needs and so on. That's a different, but he was never. But his uncle, Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, was a major banker in Makkah. Allah only knows how much his lending was and how many clients there were and so on and so forth. But he was a major banker. Rasulullah ﷺ declared and said, all those people who owe money to my uncle, Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, I am hereby forgiving all the interest that is due from them. They need to return only the principal sum which they have borrowed, which is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted. Allah said, take the principal sum back and they will not give you less than that, and you don't ask them more than that. That is the only thing you gave. I gave you $10, I need $10 back. Khalas. So, that one. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now think about this. We don't have the actual numbers. I mean, it would be interesting. I don't know whether those records are there. It would be interesting if somebody can do this research and say exactly how much of money did Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib write off with this one statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you do your accounts, right? Accounts receivables is what? Is this what I am supposed to get? Accounts receivables is part of your balance sheet. In one stroke, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made that zero. So how many millions was that? How many billion? Allah knows best. Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu anhu did not say one word. He did not say this is wrong. He did not say no, hold on a second. Nothing. He said alhamdulillah. And he remained steadfast on this. And so did all the Sahaba. So Nabi ﷺ applied this on himself. On his own family first. He didn't say, no, no, this is for everybody else. But you know, the family of the Nabi is separate. No. This is the beauty of the law of Islam. The law of Islam applies on everyone. When the Nabi alayhi salam applied it on himself and his own family, how can anybody else have any excuse to do otherwise? Which brings me to my final point today, which is the question that we always ask, rhetorical question. Like George Bush. George Bush said, why don't they love us, the people? We ask, why doesn't Allah accept our dua? We ask this. Every, in the Haram dua is made, in Arafat dua is made, oh Allah, remove the difficulties from the Ummah. Oh Allah, we are suffering. Oh Allah, help us. Oh Allah, protect us. Today, the blood of this Ummah is cheaper than water. Literally, the blood of Muslims today is cheaper than water. We make this dua. And not only, hundreds and thousands of millions of Muslims are making dua. Every single day, they are making dua in every holy place. Is it getting accepted? Does it look like it is getting accepted? I'm not saying individual, I ask for myself. No, I'm saying this general dua for the ummah Does it look like it is being accepted? Why? My contention is because the majority of the Ummah has decided to write their names in the list of enemies of Allah. How will Allah accept dua from his enemies? This is insane. If you think that I am going to declare war against you, then I want you to favor me. This is nonsense. It's absolute rubbish. I mean, how can it happen? It cannot happen. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not simply destroyed us. He can do that. I mean, I have accepted your declaration of war, so now I am at war, so what must I do? Khalas. This is the mercy. Allah has not done that. Allah has given us some time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us difficulties. وَلَنُزِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ So that you will turn back towards Allah. We give you a small punishment before the big punishment so that you can turn towards Allah and save yourself from the big punishment. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's principle. So Allah still keeps it going. And even though these trials and tribulations and difficulties, and may Allah remove them from those people, all of these are to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wrong in one or two aspects, but I don't think there is a single Muslim country, without exception, I don't think there is a single Muslim country in the world today which does not have interest-based banking absolutely established and entrenched in it. No matter how much their leaders and their presidents and their kings and whoever, no matter how much they like to talk about Islam, first question to ask is, if you are truly a Muslim country, how is it that you have interest-based banking in your system? Simple as that. They are lying to themselves. And they are lying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I am wrong, tell me what is it, what does it mean? I mean, you have a country where you have permitted something which amounts to accepting a declaration of war from Allah, and you say you are a Muslim country? What kind of Muslim country is that? A Muslim country which is at war with Allah? This is a Muslim country? Islam means submission. Does Islam mean rebellion and war? Islam means submission. If you are a Muslim country, you submit to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at a macro level, every country is like this. At a individual level, the vast majority of our people are engaged in some form of interest dealing or the other, big or small. Just a matter of scale, just a matter of degree. But almost everybody is engaged in that. I'm not talking about indirectly how interest affects, and leave all that aside. We don't need to go there. Directly, we are paying interest or we are getting interest. So how is our dua going to be accepted? Please tell me. The laws of Islam are clear. That is why we say, let us learn from the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let us take that lesson. And therefore, the bottom line here is, what do you intend to do? Do you want to remain dealing with interest as an enemy of Allah, or do you want to change that and become a wali of Allah? That is a question that each one of us who is involved in any interest-based dealings must answer for himself or herself. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.